Today is September 15th, 2014. This is Intermediate Pali. Okay, we begin one time with homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Oh, I had Venerable Satchananda. Oh, he's there. Venerable Satchananda is there. Okay, we are doing the further readings of Lesson 6. Actually, last time we went through part of the first reading passage, but since we have a few new people and I didn't finish it last time, so we could start it again from the beginning. So this is on page 90 in the textbook. And this is the famous case of the simile of the lute. Almost everybody who gets to learn anything about Buddhism learns the simile of the lute. And if you're like me, you use it as an excuse for being lazy. If you're like others, you use it as a justification or an incitement for being diligent. Okay, so let us read the passage sentence by sentence, and I break it up into phrases. Okay, so we start. Nanu te sona.
Nanu te sona.
Rahoga tassa patisalinasa.
Rahoga tassa patisalinasa.
Evang chetaso parivitako.
Evang chetaso parivitako.
Udapadi.
Udapadi.
Okay, so what happens, sort of the background to this passage, is that there is a monk named Sona who had recently been ordained, and he had a somewhat delicate body, but he was striving very, very vigorously, thinking to reach arahatship. And as a result, you know, he wore out the soles of his feet so that they were bleeding, and he became exhausted, and he didn't attain anything. So then he thought, this is pointless. Let me just disrobe and go back to the household life, and I can, there's wealth in my family, so I can do meritorious deeds. And so then he comes to the Buddha intending to announce his intention to disrobe. And now the Buddha is, in this passage, the Buddha is speaking to him. So Nanu has a sense of something like, isn't it the case? Didn't it happen? Te is the, we call this the enclitic form of the genitive participle. Anybody can write enclitic on the board?
E-N-C-L-I-T-I-C.
Excuse me?
I think it's E-N-C-L-I-T-I-C.
Right. Enclitic. It means a word that occurs only inside a sentence, not at the beginning of a sentence. So te means the same thing as either Tuihang, for you, of you, or tava, of you. And that te goes with rahogatassa. Rahogatassa, this is the dative form, or I think it's the genitive form. Masculine singular genitive, which means, raho means something like private or alone, and gata is the past participle, gone. So when you have gone into privacy, or simply when you are alone. And patisalina, or patisalinasa, is also the genitive form of an adjective, patisalina, which means secluded. And so the Buddha is saying, isn't it the case, Sona, that for you, when you were alone, when you were secluded, evang means thus or such. Chetaso is the genitive form of the word chetas, which is one of those rare Vedic forms which has been absorbed into Pali, where the stem ends in S. Chetas, manas, tejas, tejas, tapas, ojas. These are forms that in proper Sanskrit end with AS. In Pali, I think they never occur in the nominative position, but always in indirect forms. And so chetaso is the genitive form, genitive singular, of the mind. And parivitakko, it's based on the word vitakka. Vitakka means thought, and parivitakka is something like a sequence of thought. Or we could even render it a thought process. Or a chain of thought. And udapadi, what grammatical form is this of the verb?
Aorist.
Right. This is the aorist or the past tense. And it's the aorist of what is the present third person singular.
I think you said upajati.
Yeah, it's upajati. And the way we get the aorist, udapadi, I'll show this on the board. Or actually, what I could do to make it a little bit easier. Oh. Okay, I'm going to share the screen now with all of you. Oh, I think I showed this already. Okay, so we have upajati, which in Sanskrit it has the prefix ud onto the root pud, and then an ending, this is the passive ending, or the reflexive ending, yet te. Okay, now how we get from upajati to udapadi? Okay, now the first up in upajati actually comes from the prefix ud. And then the aorist often uses what they call the augment, that's an A. Which comes before the root form. And then to make the aorist, this type of aorist, the root pud is, the vowel is elongated to get ad, from pud to pad, and then the third person masculine singular ending. It's not there's no masculine or feminine in verbs. The third person singular ending I is put on. So in this way we get Udapadi. We get this word often in the Buddha's first discourse, the turning the wheel of the Dharma. Chakung Udapadi, Jnanang Udapadi, Panya Udapadi, Vija Udapadi, Aloko Udapadi. The eye arose, Chakung Udapadi, knowledge arose, wisdom arose, cognition arose, light arose. Okay, so we have Udapadi means arose. Okay, so putting it all together, so literally the way it sounds in the Pali syntax, isn't it the case, Sona, that of you alone, secluded, such a mental sequence of thought arose? But if we are translating into normal English, instead of saying, of you such a thought arose, we would say, isn't it the case, O Sona, that when you were alone, secluded, such a chain of thought arose in you? Any questions about this?
No. I'm just trying to understand. So in this sentence, the genitives sort of create a past tense feeling? When you were alone, when you were secluded?
Because it's using past participles. Gatasa, you see.
Oh.
Raho gatasa. Gatasa is a past participle.
I see. Okay.
And patisalinasa is also a past participle of a verb. The verb seldom occurs as a verb form, but this past participle is very common.
Okay, now I get it. Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's pati saliati, something like that. But it doesn't occur very often.
Okay.
And this is, but just technically, this is what is called a genitive absolute construction, which means that a little bit like the locative absolute, that there's a secondary clause in which the subject of the secondary clause is different from the subject of the main clause. You speak Mandarin?
I do.
Yeah, because some of them, this is pretty difficult explanation. Can you translate that into?
I'll try.
It uses Pali grammatical terms that I don't know how to translate that into Mandarin, but we call it genitive, how to say genitive absolute in Mandarin. Okay, but there's a secondary clause. You see, that is the clause te rahogatasa patisalinasa. And the subject of that clause is te, you. And then there's the main clause is evang chetaso parivitako udapadi, in which the subject is parivitako, the thought. Okay, now what happens, you see, in English we would use something like while you were doing this, that happened, or when you were doing this, that happened. But in Pali, the way this is expressed is by putting the idea of when or while you were doing this in this case, in the genitive case. So here, when you were alone in seclusion and secluded. So the idea, when you were alone in secluded, is put in the genitive case, because you is not the main subject of the sentence. The main subject is parivitako, thought. It sounds very complicated, but it's very simple once you get acquainted with it.
It's like Korean language.
like
Korean.
I don't know Korean then.
I know, but I'm saying
you know Korean also.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Are you of Korean ancestry? Or you just studied Korean?
I just studied Korean.
Oh.
Yeah, it's also the same as Tibetan language. Tibetan language is using, yeah, they put it in, you know, while you're doing that, like in the back. The subject is not.
Yeah, new. Maybe that's, yeah. If you could express that in, at least get the idea in Mandarin.
I'm trying to explain as simple as possible.
Yeah, it should be that way. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll come across some of, I mean, we come across examples like that over and over in Pali. So once you get used to it, it becomes just very natural. Okay, so now the Buddha is going to repeat to Sona what he was thinking. Of course, the Buddha is able to read his mind when he was alone. So this is what Sona was thinking. Yeko keichi, and then you repeat after me. Yeko keichi bhagavato.
Yeko keichi bhagavato.
Savaka arada virya.
Savaka arada virya.
Viharanti.
Viharanti.
Ahang tesang anyataro.
Ahang tesang anyataro.
Okay, so yekechi means those who. The ko here is almost untranslatable. It just gives a little bit of emphasis to it or functions, something like what I call a connective. It connects this sentence to something that came previously. So yekechi is those who, then bhagavato, this is the genitive singular of bhagava. Bhagava is, of course, it's an honorific for the Buddha. We usually translate the blessed one or the exalted one. So this is of the blessed one or the blessed ones. Then savaka is disciples. And arada virya means, arada means aroused or stirred up. And virya is energy. And so arada virya functions as an adjective describing savaka, the disciples. So those disciples of the Blessed One who had stirred up their energy, or it goes with the verb viharanti, which means who live. So those disciples of the Blessed One who dwell with stirred up energy. Then ahang is I, referring to himself, that's the nominative. I, tesang, this is the pronoun, third person plural, of them. And anyataro means a certain one, like one amongst others. So he was thinking, I, in English, to make it sound best, I'll invert the order of the sentence. I, am one of those disciples of the Blessed One who dwell with startup energy. Or we could put it this way, of those disciples of the Blessed One who dwell with startup energy, I am one of them. Excuse me?
What's the place of
Virya? Yeah, Aradhavirya here is third person plural, because Aradhavirya is describing Savaka. Savaka is plural. It's nominative plural. Did I say third person plural?
Yeah.
I'm getting out of practice. Nouns don't have persons. Verbs have persons. Nouns have cases. It's nominative plural. Yeah. Don't write third person plural. Nominative plural. So Savaka is nominative plural. And Aradhavirya is of startup energy, describing Savaka, so it's also third person. It's also nominative plural. Okay, so then his thought continues. Okay, now I'll read, and you read after me. Atta chapana.
Atta chapana.
Actually, it should go atta chapana me.
Atta chapana me.
Na anupadaya.
Na anupadaya.
Asavehi.
Asavehi.
Chitang vimuchati.
Chitang vimuchati.
Okay, so atta chapana functions like however or nevertheless. Then me is the enclitic form of the pronoun meaning mine, my. The full form would be mama, but the short form is me. So my, and me actually goes with chitang, with mind. But in between we have anupadaya, which means, it has a kind of idiomatic function. It means through non-clinging, through non-grasping. It's originally, I think, a gerund or absolutive, but it seems to be functioning almost like an instrumental, through non-clinging. Asavehi is ablative plural. It means from the asavas. The asavas are defilements. Then chitang, of course, is mind. And vimuchati is to be freed, to be liberated. And this is all negated by the na. So we have na anupadaya asavehi chitang vimuchati. So atta chapana, nevertheless, me chitang, my mind, na vimuchati, is not liberated asavehi from the defilements. Anupadaya, through non-clinging, through absence of clinging. And so he's thinking, you know, even though he's one of the energetic disciples, nevertheless, my mind is not liberated from the defilements through non-clinging. Okay, now he continues. Any questions on this? Okay, then we continue. Sang vijanti kopana me.
Sang vijanti kopana me.
Kule boga.
Kule boga.
Saka bogecha bunjitung.
Saka bogecha bunjitung.
Punyani cha katung.
Punyani cha katung.
So sang vijanti means this is third person plural. There exist, or simply there are. Then kopana, again, is like a connective, a little bit like but or and. And may, again, is my. And kule is family. And what case is this?
Nominative.
No.
Locative?
It's locative. Locative singular. In family. In this case, it's me kule, so in my family. And boga is what case and number?
I have written it down from previous, but it's nominative plural.
Yeah, it's nominative plural. And we would translate it as wealth, but in Pali it comes out as a plural, wealths, or maybe riches. In English we would say riches. Well, it includes not only money, but property. Of course, in India, you know, money was just maybe even a secondary aspect of a person's wealth. More important would be property, cattle, horses, other types of goods, grain. So he's thinking, okay, so he says, nevertheless, my mind is not liberated from the defilements through non-clinging. However, there are riches in my family. Okay, then sakha means it is possible. It's a kind of auxiliary verb which is used with usually with an infinitive. It is possible to do something. In this case, he thinks it is possible. Then we have first infinitive is bunjitung. Normally, bunjati means to eat, but it also takes on the meaning to enjoy. So it is possible to enjoy the riches, to enjoy the family wealth. And the second thing that he can do is punyani katung. Here we have the infinitive katung, means to do, and punya means a meritorious deed. And now this is plural, so it's meritorious deeds. So it is. He's thinking it is possible. There are riches in my family. It is possible to enjoy the riches and to do meritorious deeds. Why should I exert myself striving alone as a monk in meditation? I can go back to my family, enjoy the pleasures of the world with the riches and do meritorious deeds. And then I can be, get a happy rebirth. And if I'm lucky enough, I can become a monk again. Okay, so then, oh yeah, a little bit puzzling. In English, we say, it is possible to enjoy riches and to do meritorious deeds. But in Pali, we have cha twice. Why?
It's the Pali way.
It's the way we do it. It's the way we want to do it. We put it before and we put it at the end. We put it in the middle with the end like wealth and riches.
Okay, and okay. Yeah. Yeah. You see, in English, if you have two kinds of pets in the house, you say, I have a dog and a cat. Oops, we lost somebody.
Somebody doesn't like dogs and cats.
What is that?
I said someone doesn't like dogs and cats.
No, they have to like. Okay. Okay, so in English, somebody who has two kinds of pets would say, I have a dog and a cat. But if he were speaking Pali, he would use the word and with each of the animals. Normally, one would say, I have a dog and a cat and. And if he has a parakeet, he would say, I have a dog and a cat and a parakeet and. And if he performs two actions, the word and would come with both actions. In English we would say, I went to the store and bought a container of milk. But in Pali, one would say, I went to the store and bought a container of milk and. Okay, so that's why we have two cha. And the cha comes after each of the phrases with which it belongs. Okay, so that is what he's starting to think. Then he continues, Yanu nahang sikang pachakaya.
Yanu nahang sikang pachakaya.
Hinaya. Yeah, this is a little tough for me. Okay. 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 Hinaya avatitva.
Inaya avatito.
Bogecha bunjeyung.
Bogecha bunjeyung.
Punyani cha kareyung.
Punyani cha kareyung.
Okay, first this expression, yanu nahung, this is used when somebody is thinking to themselves and sort of deciding tentatively to undertake an action, something like, let me do this, let me do that, or something like, why don't I do this, why don't I do that? So he's thinking, let me, or why don't I, then sikang means the training. In this case, it's the monastic training. And what case is this? Sikang?
Accusative.
Accusative. And what would the nominative be? You have to convey what gender it is from the nominative. Anybody got it? Suki, you should know.
Feminine?
There was another choice, because in Pali we have masculine, feminine, and neuter nouns. But he's right, it's the gender of training of sikha is feminine. So the nominative would be sikha, ending with the long A, the extended A. But here it's accusative, which means it's the object. It's the object of pachakaya. Pachakaya is a gerund meaning to renounce or to give up. So he's thinking, let me now, having given up the training, then we have with this hinaya vatitva, this is actually joining together hinaya, which is a dative, with avatitva, which is a gerund, or now the later grammarians are now calling it absolutive. The absolutive is a form of a verb which in English we would render as having done something. And usually the absolutive, also called the gerund, ends either with this twa, or with the short YA. Yeah, so often when there's a series of actions that somebody is performing, you know, in English we would say, okay, I took some money from my mother, I went to the store, I bought a carton of milk, and I returned home. In Pali, this would be expressed usually as having taken money from my mother, having gone to the store, having bought a carton of milk, I returned home. So the earlier actions in the series are indicated by the gerund or absolutive, having done X, having done Y, and then the last action is indicated by the regular verb. And so here he's thinking, let me now, having given up the training, and now the verb avatati means having returned, having gone back to. And then hinaya is what case?
Dative.
Right, it's dative in the sense of to. So having gone back to, and hina is, maybe we'd render it, what is lower in that, I'm sorry to say, but... The texts are composed by monks, so they so they speak of having gone back to the lower life.
Is this the same as Hinayana?
In Hinayana?
The same Hina?
Yeah. Okay. So Hinayana doesn't really mean the little vehicle.
The lowly vehicle.
That means the lowly. The inferior vehicle. Okay, so having gone back to the lower life, let me enjoy wealth or riches, and let me do merits. And what form of the verb is bunjeung and kareung? What do we call this form?
Optative.
Right. This is called the optative. The optative form of the verb is the form which is used to express the idea of should, could, might, would. I think in English this is what is called the subjunctive. Any English grammarians?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay, so what he's, we could see how the sense of the optative, as I give a full translation. Why? Actually, it doesn't work so well in an English translation. But he's thinking, let me now, having renounced or given up the training, having returned to the lower life, I could enjoy wealth and I could do merits. You know, my English translation is not grammatically correct, but I translate in that way to bring out the grammar of the Pali.
Couldn't it be, were I to do this, then this in English? Were I to go back to the lower life, then I could do this.
Oh,
that?
Actually, that would work. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Could I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
This pachakaya, what is the base verb for this?
Yeah.
It's a year gerund, is that right?
It's a year gerund. You know, I don't think we ever see the actual verb. Sometimes a certain gerund gets to be used over and over, and the original verb doesn't appear, or if it does appear, it would be extremely rare.
So that
let me just try to figure it out. It would probably be... Does the textbook give the actual...
No.
It just gives a meaning for pachakaya. It might be patiakiyati with a long I there. But I'd have to look into a dictionary to check, because I don't know that that verb actually occurs.
Don't you have that program where you type in a word and it pops up in every soup and every... Do you have that on this computer?
Yeah, I don't have that. No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, any questions about this now? Okay, now we go on. Very simple sentence. Evang bante.
Evang bante.
Okay, so the word evang, normally it means something like thus, or in such a way, but when it comes in the reply to a question, it means yes. So the Buddha is asking, saying, didn't you have such and such a thought? You were thinking, let me give up the training, return to the lower life, and then I could enjoy the wealth and my family and do meritorious deeds. And then Sona says, yes, Venerable. Okay, now the Buddha says, Tung King Manyasi, Sona.
Bante?
Yeah.
I just have a quick question. So this whole paragraph, it was the Buddha talking, or was that also the monk Sona speaking as well?
No, this is the Buddha talking, except that in the earlier part of this passage, which is not included here, it's describing how Sona had this thought. And then it says that the Buddha, with his own mind, understood the thought in the mind of Sona. So then when Sona comes to the Buddha, then the Buddha says to him, isn't it the case that when you were alone in seclusion, this kind of thinking arose in your mind? And then the Buddha repeats, word for word, exactly the thought that was in Sona's mind.
I see. The reason I ask is because I was confused by the sentence of those disciples of the Blessed One who live with stored up energy. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So
that,
I was confused by that one.
Yeah. Because it's quoting verbatim the thought of in Sona's mind. So the Buddha doesn't say, isn't it true that you thought that you are a disciple of the Blessed One? But rather, when the Buddha, this is the style of the Pali, when anybody repeats another person's thought or statement, they always quote the exact words of the thought or the statement. Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
I found the word pachakati.
Pachakati.
Yes. It's a disavow or give up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pachakati. Oh, give up or disavow.
Yeah.
Oh, disavow. Yeah.
Okay, so let's continue. Okay, so now the Buddha says, Tang King Manyasi Sona.
Tang King Manasi Sona.
Kusalo Tvang.
Kusalo Tvang.
Pube Agariya Bhutto.
Pube Agariya Bhutto.
Vinaya Tanti Sare.
Vinaya Tanti Sare.
Okay, so when the Buddha wants to begin questioning somebody, usually he'll say, Tang King Manyasi, which is, king means what, and Manyasi means it's the second person, in this case singular, you think. And then the opening tongue, I think, is the object. What do you think about that, literally? Or maybe manyasi is to think about, and tongue is the object that. But in English we would say, what do you think about this? But Pali uses tongue, that. So the Buddha is saying, what do you think about this, Sona? It's just a way of opening up the area for questioning. Then he says, Kusalo, here kusalo means skillful. Tvang is the nominative for you, singular, nominative singular, you. Pube is indeclinable, meaning in the past. Agariya means household, and bhutto means, it's a suffix meaning were. So putting it together, when you in the past, when you were a householder, then vinaya is, I think this is locative, based on the verb vina. You know what the vina is? It's the, now it's in South India, it's the Indian lute. It's used in the South Indian music. But I guess in the Buddha's time it was still used in North India. But at a later point it was displaced by the sitar. You know the sitar? Yeah, and so the vina remained in South Indian music, but North Indian music, the vina was modified to become the sitar. So it's the Indian lute. Oh, this could, Vinaya could, it could be instrumental. You see, the problem with feminine indirect cases of is that the instrumental, dative, genitive, locative all have the same ending.
So how do you tell the difference and how do you distinguish?
From the context, usually from the context. The locative actually has two endings. One is the same as the genitive, dative, and instrumental. That would be aya, long a, y, short a. But sometimes to indicate clearly that it's the locative, it would have the ung at the end, the m with the dot under it. So that could be ayung. But here, because I see the verb, the word that comes after it, tanti sare, is a locative, so it could be skilled in tanti sare with the vina. And tanti sare is literally, tanti is string, and sara is sound. So literally this would be in string sounds with the lute. But in English we would say skillful in playing the lute. I think the vina would be instrumental with the lute. And then tanti sare is clearly locative, masculine locative singular. Yeah, they give in the glossary string music.
What is the T at the end?
Yeah, this T at the end is something like to show the end of a direct quotation. That's why I don't read it. It's just like end quote. Mm. Okay, so he's saying, what do you think about this, Sona? In the past, when you were a householder, weren't you skilled in playing on the lute or playing with the lute? And then Sona replies, Evang Bhante. Yes, Venerable. Then the Buddha continues, Tung King Manyasi Sona.
Tamki manasi sona.
Yadate.
Yadate.
Vinaya tantio.
Vinaya tantio.
Ajayata honti.
Ajayata honti.
Apinute.
Apinute.
Vina.
Vina.
Tasmin samaye.
Tasmin samaye.
Saravati vahoti.
Kamanyava. Kamanyava.
And then he replies, No he tang bante.
No he tang bante.
Okay, so the Buddha opens again with, what do you think about this, Sona? Okay, then comes the question. Okay, yada is the relative pronoun meaning when. Te means here of you or your, and it goes with Vinaya, which here it's would be genitive of the lute. And then tantio is means strings, and this is feminine plural. Tanti would be a feminine noun ending in I. Yeah, it ends in the short I, and then the plural of it, the feminine plural, feminine nominative plural is tantio. And then the adjective describing tantio here is achayata, which comes from the prefix ati plus ayata. Ayata normally means long, but here I think it's being used in the sense of tight. And anybody want to explain to our new students how from ati plus ayata we get achayata? Or should I explain? Okay, this is something concerned with phonetics, with sound, principles of sound in Pali. See, sounds in Pali are a little bit like people. You know, certain people, or maybe it's like a better analogy would be like certain chemicals. If you put certain chemical substances together, they react in a certain way so that the resulting substance looks different from the two original substances. Like if you bring hydrogen together with oxygen, hydrogen is a gas, oxygen is a gas, you bring them together and what do you get? What? You get a little explosion, but what results? What is the substance that results? Bring hydrogen together.
Water.
Exactly. H2O, water, which is a liquid. Because when oxygen and hydrogen come together, something takes place and they change. And so in Pali, we have the I and an A, either a short A or a long A. Whoops. That's an unstable combination. And so what happens first, you see, if you try to say ati ayata, say it.
Ati ayata.
It's troublesome, no? You see, you have to articulate two vowels. So what would happen firstly is that the I turns into a Y. So it's easier to say atyata. Well, theoretically it's easier. Atyayata.
Atyayata.
But that ain't so easy. And so what happens, that is the way it would develop in Sanskrit. But what happens in Pali is that the ty is an unstable combination. So ty turns into two s's. So say achayata.
Achayata.
Very easy, no?
Yes.
Achayata.
Two questions.
Two C's.
Yeah, that's no problem. Achayata.
So what confuses me is, Bhante, like when you combine like that, why doesn't it become, for example, atayata? You know, drop E, make long A. So these...
There might be some combinations like that.
Oh,
but,
okay. Oh, I see.
But you, that wouldn't happen with this word.
Uh-huh.
I guess because I think it's important to retain the sense of ati.
Oh,
now, ati is a prefix which suggests the idea of sometimes excess. Sometimes it's ati has an approving sense of, let's see, I don't know if ati kusala occurs, that would be extremely good, extremely excellent. But in this case, achayata is too tight. So he's asking, okay, when the strings of your lute are too tight, then honti is the verb here, which means simply are. This is the third person plural of the verb hoti, to be. So what do you think, O Sona, when the strings of your vina are too tight, then upinu is like, it gives the interrogative sense to a sentence. It turns it into a question. In this case, what, maybe I have to get the rest of the sentence. Te vina, your vina, tasmin samaye, on that occasion, at that time, and this goes with yada, when. So yada is when your strings were too tight. On that occasion, your vina, then saravati comes from sara. Sara is sound. And then there's a suffix in the stem form, it's vant. And this suffix, vant, gives the meaning of possessing, having. Like somebody who is virtuous, of good conduct, is silavant. A virtuous person. Or somebody who has numerous good qualities is called gunavant, a person of one of excellent qualities. The Buddha is called bhagavant, which means one who has, bhaga would be literally fortune. So it's like the fortunate one. Of course, it doesn't mean that he was happened to have good luck at the casino, but it means that he's acquired, you know, many, many excellent qualities. Okay, now, in this case, we have saravant, which is qualifying vina, and vina is a feminine noun, and of course he's describing one vina, so it's feminine singular. And so the feminine form, what happens to the suffix vant to make it feminine nominative is it turns into vati. See if we can get the long I any place. Maybe I have to bring in the feminine. I don't know where I got those. Oh, I think I know how to do it. Okay, so it becomes Saravati, the long I. So that means, Sara means sound, so Saravati would be literally soundful, but we would say sonorous or resonant. What would be a good word?
Melodious.
Melodious?
Yeah, okay, melodious is good. And kamanya, it comes from the word kama, which here doesn't mean the retributive law of moral causation, but one of the original meanings of kama is work or doing. So in this case, we would say workable or playable. So he's saying, what do you think, O Sona? Taking the whole sentence now. What do you think about this, O Sona? When the strings of your lute are too tight, Upinu, that's, is it the case that on that occasion your lute is melodious or playable? And you see the word va here. The word va means or. And the same rule that applies to ch and also applies to va. That when you have a choice between two things, you could still only choose one of them, but the choice is indicated by repeating va. So in English we would say, would you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? In Pali, if I were offering you the choice of ice creams in Pali, I would say, would you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream or?
So it's the same case as J.
Yeah. But if I make that offer, you could only choose one kind of ice cream. You can't argue. Since you said va twice, I want both chocolate and vanilla.
Bhante, so here Saravati is because the lute is, veena is feminine.
Yeah.
If it were a masculine instrument, it would have been Sarava.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I had a question. When you repeat the vowels, in some of the things I've read, instead of, is that because you don't have the character?
You mean like two eyes?
Yeah, here?
Yeah. I couldn't find where the symbols.
Okay.
There must be some place here, but I just. Because. Oh, okay, now I got it. Whoops, I saw it. Okay. Let me just change. Oh, that's the home. Okay. That's the way it would be. Okay. Okay, so Saravati is sonorous or melodious, and Kamanya is also, it's a feminine noun. Well, let's say, I'm sorry. Kamanya is a feminine adjective, but it's like the basic adjective ending in A. And so to make it feminine, it turns into a long A. Whereas Saravati, because it's the I, or let's say, because Sara is conjoined with Vant, and the feminine form for Vant is Vati, So it ends with the long I. Okay, so then is this getting strenuous? I didn't take a break, but I think we have 25 minutes to go, so no point to take a break. Okay, so then Sona replies, no hey tang bante.
No hey tang bante.
So this is the way of expressing a negation, that the H there is just an abridgment of H-I, he, which is just a little bit emphatic. And when the I, it's not, hi, how are you? It's not like that. And the E, meet, we don't have to waste time looking for the. Okay, so what happens when the here, when the I meets the E, there are two vowels, and so he, a tongue, again, it's no need to express both vowels, so the weaker vowel, which is the I, drops out, and just becomes hey tongue. It's a little bit like in English, instead of saying cannot, we say can't, or will not.
Why is there a dot before the M?
That's because I would have to search to get the M with the dot underneath it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
And I'd have to go searching all over for it. Anybody want to help? Oh, I think I could get it from here. Maybe let's not waste time searching for these characters. Okay, so now the Buddha continues the questioning. The next question is just parallel to the previous one. So the only word, we don't have to recite it, but the only word that's different here is the question, or the word, ati sitila.
Ati sitila.
So ati sitila is simply, what does it mean?
Too loose.
Right, too loose. So he's saying, what do you think about this, Sona? When the strings of your lute are too loose, on that occasion, is your lute melodious or playable? And then again, Sona says, no hey tang bante, so certainly not, well, literally it's not this bante. Though we would just say, surely not bante. Okay, then actually the third question is also parallel to the previous ones. So now the Buddha says, yadapanate sona.
Yadapanate sona.
Vinaya tantio.
Vinaya tantio.
Na achayata honti.
Na achayata honti.
Nati sitila.
Nati sitila.
samme gune patit. Oh, there's a typographical error here. It should be patitita.
Patitita.
And it should be spelled P A normal T I, and then continue the way it's here with dotted T H I T long A. So samme gune patitita.
Samme gune patitita.
Apinu. Te vina tasmin samaye.
Te vina tasmin samaye.
Saravati vahoti.
Saravati vahoti.
Kamanyava.
Kamanyava.
Okay, so now the Buddha begins. Well, you see, in the first part of the question, he has panna here. The panna is functioning like but. So he's saying, but, Sona, when the strings of your lute, then we have na achayata onti, are not too tight, then nati sitila comes from joining. Two A's. It's N plus Ati. So when they come together, what's done, again, for ease of pronunciation, is to join them into a, and turn the two short A's into a long one. I would actually prefer if they would have kept it separate. It's easier to follow and not get confused. So it's not too loose. So the strings of the lute are not too tight, not too loose. Then samme gune patitita. Patitita means established or settled. And I guess summa means even, and guna has many shades of meaning. I guess in relation to music, it would have something like the meaning of pitch. Would that be a good?
Yeah.
The right, when the strings are established at the right pitch.
Tuned to the right pitch.
Or tuned up, we would say properly tuned. In all normal language.
Correct tension. You sometimes say that.
Okay. Well, just let's translate it literally using pitch for guna. So when they're established in at an even pitch, then upinu, again it turns it into a question. Is it the case that at that time your lute is melodious or workable, playable? And though in English we would actually use a conjunction, we would say, at that time your lute is melodious and playable. But for some reason, maybe because of the earlier questions, the Pali retains va, the or form. But really, to play it, it has to be both melodious and playable. If it's melodious but you can't play it, it's useless. If it's playable but not melodious, it's useless. So to make sense in English, we would use and. So is it the case that on that occasion, your lute is melodious and playable? And then Sona says, Evang Bhante, yes, Venerable.
So Bhante, so it would actually probably have been better to use cha there instead of va?
In English it would have made sense if the Pali had used cha.
Cha.
But I guess in a sentence like this in Pali, even though va means normally means or, but just following, you know, the sense of the context, it has to have the conjunctive sense. So to make a good English, use and rather than or. Okay, so now the Buddha sort of, now he delivers the punchline, so to speak. He says, eva meva ko sona.
Eva meva ko sona.
Acharada viryam.
Acharada viryam.
Udachaya sangvatati.
Udachaya sangvatati.
Atisitila viryam.
Atisitila viryam.
Kosajaya sangvatati. Okay, now eva-meva is generally used when applying a simile, when applying a simile to a point of Dharma. So eva-meva means like in the same way, or exactly so. And then the ko doesn't really have a translatable meaning. It's just a kind of particle that gives a little peppery flavor to the statement. You know, to show that, like, this is the, it gives a little more forcefulness to the statement. Okay, now we have acharada viryang. No, you don't have to. So acharada viryang again is another example of ati plus, in this case, arada. So we have ati and arada means start up or arouse, and ati plus arada, so we get acharada. So it means excessively aroused, or we could simply put it as excessive energy. Okay, so in the same way, excessive energy, then we go to the verb sangvatati, which means leads to. It's a very common verb in the Pali Suttas. And leads to goes with udachaya. What case udachaya?
Dative.
Right. This is the dative case. The object of motion. So leads to, and udacha we know means restlessness. So excessive energy leads to restlessness. And ati sitila viryang, it's ati plus sitila, excessively loose energy, or we would say laxity maybe, too much looseness, too much laxity, kosajaya sangvatati leads to, say, kosaja, meaning indolence or laziness. So too much energy leads to restlessness, and too loose energy or too much laxity leads to indolence. Okay, and then the Buddha draws, the last sentence draws out the conclusion. Tasma te ha tvang sona.
Tasma te tvang sona.
Virya samatang aditaha.
Virya samatang aditaha.
Indriyanang cha.
Indriyanang cha.
Samatang pativija.
Samatang pativija.
Tata cha.
Tata cha.
Nimitang ganhahi.
Nimitang ganhahi.
Okay, first we'll translate this very literally, but to render it very literally sounds a bit odd in English. Okay, first we have tasmatiha, which has the meaning of therefore. It's actually the same as really tasma, but tiha seems to be maybe just an elegant suffix put onto it. So therefore, and then he's speaking to Sona, you, Sona, virya samatang. So samatang is the abstract noun based on sama, which means even or equal. So this is evenness of energy. And it's the accusative case. The nominative would be the feminine noun virya samatha with the long A, samatha. But because it becomes the object, accusative, the A turns into ung. So virya samatang, evenness of energy, and the verb adi tahati means to resolve upon, to establish the mind upon, to determine upon. If you know the paramis in the Pali tradition, one of them is determination or resolution. Aditana. So this is the verb related to aditana. Adi tahati or adi pitati is to determine, to resolve on. And so, and then this is the imperative, second person singular imperative form. Resolve upon evenness of energy. Then indriyanang cha samatang pativija. Literally, it's penetrate evenness of the faculties. The faculties would be the five spiritual faculties of faith and understanding, energy and concentration, with mindfulness in the middle. So literally it's penetrate evenness of the faculties. But in normal English we might say equalize your faculties. And then comes the final clause, tata cha nimitang ganhahi. Again, the verb ganhahi is second person singular imperative. Also, pativija is second person singular imperative. So literally, it's tata means there. That would mean in the evenness of energy and the equalization of the faculties. So there, nimitang has various meanings. You know, one could debate what is exactly intended here.
The object.
Yeah, But I don't think it's the nimitta in the sense of the Visuddhimagga system of the, you know, the visualized meditation object. It could be simply the object of meditation. And ganhahi is grasp. But this is in a positive sense, not in the negative sense of clinging. But grasp the object there. That would be the subject of meditation. So when you have the evenness of or balance of energy and balance of the faculty of the faculties, grab the object or take up the object there. Any questions on this?
Bhante.
Okay, Stephen had this to ask first.
When he says the object, is he talking about the objective or an object of meditation?
No, I think it's the object of meditation rather than the aim of the practice. Okay, Kim?
So it is the mindfulness that allows us to find the right balance between energy and between too much versus too little.
Yeah, that's what it said. But the sutta doesn't speak about that role of mindfulness here. It just says simply to resolve upon evenness of energy, penetrate evenness of the faculties, and there grab the object.
Also, Bhante, does it mean that it's different for different people? We each have to find our right balance? Is that what it means?
I'm not giving a Dhamma talk. Questions should relate to the Pali. Of course, we each have to find for ourselves, but here we're trying to get the Pali right. Let me just see how the commentary explains that expression. You see, it begins when Venerable Sona was alone, secluded, such a thought arose in his mind. And then this is the same thought. Then it says, then the Blessed One, with his mind, having understood the thought, the chain of thought in the mind of the Venerable Sona, then the Buddha goes quickly to the presence of Venerable Sona, and he sits down in the seat, and then the Venerable Sona approaches comes to the Buddha. He pays homage to him and sits down. And then the Buddha says to Venerable Sona, isn't it the case, Sona, that when you were alone, secluded, such a thought arose in your mind? So this is where the passage in the book begins. Okay, so this is what the way the commentary explains that expression, tattaca nimittam ganhahi. Okay, tasmin samabhave sati. Here sati isn't mindfulness, but this is indicating the locative absolute. So, which means when there is evenness of, when there is that evenness, okay, by so this is just as a facial reflection may arise in a mirror, so you should grasp or produce that samatha nimittang, call it the object of tranquility meditation, the object of vipassana, insight meditation, the object of the path, the object of the fruit. And so the teacher, pakipipa, strange expression, having thrown, weird. Yeah. Having thrown in arahatship, I get the sense now. Having discussed the meditation subject, the sense is having explained the meditation subject up to arahatship to him. So the teacher, that's the Buddha, then explained the meditation subject up to arahatship to him.
What is that word, Bhante? Adase?
Adasa is a mirror.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I see. So the sense is, by which object it may arise, just as a facial reflection arises in a mirror. So the yena goes with tongue. Tongue samatha nimittang. So the object by which tranquility might arise, the object by which insight might arise, the object by which the path might arise, the object by which the fruit might arise.
So you said sati is locative, absolutive?
Absolute. Not absolutive,
okay.
Absolute.
Yeah, okay. What does that mean, Bhante? So absolute of what?
Sati is, it's not the word sati meaning mindfulness, but this is the locative present participle of the verb ati, which means to be, to exist. So it means when existing.
So that's santi, isn't it?
Exactly. It would be the same as, okay, sati would be the same as, I think, sante would be another form of it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So when there is, so when that evenness is existing, but we don't have to worry about this kind of style right now. Okay, any questions? What is that?
I mean, this is exciting. It looks appear. That's like a face appears in the mirror.
But, is it?
It's just as hard as it.
It is, or is it?
Hard. It is hard.
It is hard.
Yes.
Of course, it takes time to get accustomed to the idiom, the grammar.
So I just did because I'm starting it in. Well, I don't have any basic understanding of anything of these words. something.
Yeah. If you give me your email addresses, I will send you. We have the recordings of all the Pali primer classes. On in my drop. Oh, I'll send you all of the material that goes with this book. Yeah, there is a file that has the Pali passages, and then it has very literal English translations of the passages. But it doesn't have the and then there's another file which has a summary of the grammar. But still, it's good to get the whole book so that you could read the grammar, and then you have also the vocabulary, the glossaries.
So, I'll just give you my email address and you'll send me.
Yeah, I'll send you those links.
And the other thing I can find online at CYM site or something.
Which thing?
The files that you have from.
No, I send you everything.
Grammar. Oh. Oh.
Yeah. I send you the links. We have the recordings of the classes on that book on Dropbox. And then the recordings of the earlier classes on this book on Dropbox. And then there's supplementary material also on Dropbox.
It's so student-friendly. This is but I have to tell you, it's hard for everybody, so please.
Yes, don't feel it's hard.
Have to come.
Yeah, don't feel it's hard.
No, what I'm trying to say here, the hard part will be there's a lot of object, accusative, dative. It seems like I'm studying Germans.
That's what I did here. I just went through and learned what the cases were and wrote them down for the different cases.
Yeah.
As a starter, anyway.
I think if you've done that, I don't even know whether you have to go into that book. But I don't like the sentences in that book very much.
No.
Yeah, it's just useful to maybe to get acquainted with the grammatical sections. And you don't have to memorize all the declensions and conjugations, but just try to get familiar to be able to recognize them. And then I would say, start off with the first lessons of this book. You know, once you go through this book, you know, just reading the grammar, then go directly into this book.
The top size is very small in this, isn't it?
The
font size?
Yes,
the,
it's very small.
Makes you sort of clear.
I don't know, I can see it.
Depends on your prescription. Bhante, when is our next class?
Yeah, because next week there's a meditation retreat here.
You guys are all welcome.
So next week we don't have a class, so the next class will be the week after that. Let's see, next week is 22nd, right?
So it's the 29th.
So it's the 29th. Excuse me?
10
No, no, no. I'm talking about the next Pali class.
Yeah.
It's 29th. But you could use, if you're not coming to the meditation, even if you are, but this week you could, I'll send you the links tonight, and then you can just start getting, going through this book as much as you can. Or you start with, do you have that book?
No, I don't.
Oh, but that book is also in the Dropbox,
okay.
An electronic version. Okay, so are we finished? Okay, so we end with three bows to the Buddha.